This is WNRI's special coverage of the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Jeff Gamache. The following presentation is the Rhode Island Commerce Secretary, Stefan Pryor, and Rhode Island Small Business Association Director, Mark Haywood. They discuss resources and programs available to small businesses impacted by the COVID-19 virus.
Hi, I'm Stefan Pryor, Governor Gina Raimondo's Commerce Secretary. I'm very pleased to be with you this morning. Thank you to all who have joined this Facebook Live. We're pleased to be focused upon the Federal Small Business Administration's new programs for small businesses, obviously with a focus upon Rhode Island's small businesses. We know that a number of businesses have already been applying for these programs, but there are still plenty that are seeking to apply who are trying to obtain the relevant information and are aiming to ask some questions. So that's why we've put together this Facebook Live. We at Commerce are always willing and able to help you. So if you're a business that still has a question after all of this, you can call 521-HELP. That's our special helpline, 401-521-HELP. I'll say that several times this morning. But what we want you to do today, what we want you to do during the Facebook Live is to please type your question in the comment box once you have a question, or feel free to send a private message directly to Rhode Island Commerce through our Facebook page, and we'll explain that to you. If you are watching a replay of this live broadcast and have a question that doesn't get answered, please feel free to call the Rhode Island hotline that I mentioned, which is the 521-HELP line. The programs that we're focusing upon today are the newly launched or repositioned programs from SBA, especially what's known as the PPP program and the EIDL program. But we're pleased that we're going to hear about all that the SBA is up to from Mark Haywood. Mark Haywood is the district director for Rhode Island. Mark has been on this particular case with intensity and with professionalism. Mark is a great partner. When the original set of emergency loans were authorized by the SBA, prior even to the most recent stimulus packages, Mark worked with us to enable Rhode Island to be one of the very first in the country, one of the very first states to be authorized to make loans. And he's working tirelessly with ridiculous hours, as I know many small business people are, to help us all. So we're pleased to be joined by Mark, who's working very closely with his federal colleagues in Washington to bring home resources and answers. So what I want to do is ask Mark to go ahead and make a presentation, and then we're going to come back and I'll explain the steps again at that time. Director Haywood.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for your leadership, and please extend our best wishes to the governor and thank her for everything that she's done during these very difficult times. You know, there is a lot of information that we want to impart this morning, and I believe we have some slides that are coming up on the screen just to talk about the programs for economic recovery during COVID-19. Next slide, please. So on the SBA website, which is www.sba.gov, if you go to COVID relief options at the bottom of the page, it will give across the bottom as you can see there, the icons to pop on to these individual programs. Next slide, please. And the Economic Injury Disaster Emergency Advance, this was something that was part of the CARES Act. What basically it does, it provides for up to $10,000 of economic relief. You would have to go on to the SBA site, apply for the CARES Act, and this basically is a forgivable loan or a grant to small businesses. I do know that there are many Rhode Island small businesses that have moved forward and applied for this particular grant. It has not been dispersed yet. I am told that hopefully sometime this week, disbursements will be made. The one thing that I want to point out here is it says up to $10,000. That does not necessarily mean that you will get $10,000. It will be dependent upon the number of employees that you have. And it's my understanding that in most cases it would be $1,000 per employee, but that is going to be based upon certain criteria. Next slide, please. The Paycheck Protection Program. This is a program that everybody has been hearing about over the last few days. The Congress appropriated $349 billion to this particular program. It it provides for immediate relief to the small businesses through participating lenders. And having said that, there are a number of elements to the Paycheck Protection Program that I do want to talk about. And one is specifically is how it's calculated. And I would recommend that if you have the opportunity to go up online to read through the interim final rule. I know it's only 30 pages. It's not a lot of information, but it really tells you, excuse me, as to what you should be looking at as far as applying, what actually is eligible. And when I look at the rule, it says payroll costs consist of compensation to employees in the form of salaries, wages, commissions, or similar compensation, cash tips or equivalents based upon records of the employer. In the absence of such records, a reasonable good faith estimate of such tips, payment of vacation, parental leave, family leave, medical leave, or sick leave, allowance for separation or dismissal, payment for provisions of employee benefits consisting of group health coverage, insurance premiums, retirement payments, payments of state and local taxes assessed on the compensation of the employees. And for independent contractors, sole proprietors, it would be wage, commission, income, or other net earnings of self-employment or similar compensation. Excuse me. So basically, you would take, and I like to give the example, salaries is one thing. Say, let's say that you have six employees and the salaries of all the employees are $1.2 million. You have to remember, you cannot go over $100,000 for any one employee. So $100,000 is the maximum for salary. Again, that's wages that are paid to an individual, and it can include commissions or tips or what have you. What you then add on top of that is all of the other things that I mentioned: health coverage, insurance, retirement, state and local taxes, and other. Medical leave, sick leave, then it would be added on top of that. And let's just say for theoretical purposes that your payroll is $1.2 million with those two added together for your five or six employees. Basically, what you would do is you would take that number, you would divide by 12. That's 100,000. You would then multiply that by 2.5, which means that you would be eligible for a Paycheck Protection Program of $250,000. That $250,000 must be spent 75-25, which means that 75% of what you're going to spend on that $250,000 is going to be for employee salaries. The $50,000 is going to be for operating expenses. It's going to be for whatever rents you have or mortgage interest, not mortgage principal, but mortgage interest. It could be electricity. It could be anything for the ongoing expenses of the business. Now, and I know the secretary and I have had discussions about this and just on a conference call the other day with Congressman Cicilline. This program is for you to bring those employees back on your payroll. Take them off of unemployment and bring them back on your payroll. And I know that it is difficult for small businesses to capture that understanding that I am bringing people back on my payroll who are not going to be coming to work. And that's exactly what the Paycheck Protection Program is all about. Many of you have long-term employees in your businesses. Many of you have had that relationship to where your employees are like your family. That's what this is all about. Bring your family members back onto the payroll and pay them what you would pay them normally. Have them come off of unemployment insurance so that when God hopes in a not distant future, we'll be able to reopen and you will already have your people back on your payroll. The concept of paying people to stay home is something that small business owners are not used to. We understand that. But the purpose of this program specifically is to bring those individuals back onto the employment rolls. Now, I will tell you that during the last town hall meeting that I was on, Congress, there was a discussion about unemployment and the additional $600. And I think Congressman Cicilline really was right at that question where he said that this is not the intent for people to make money off of COVID-19. It's more critical for you to come back on the bring these people back onto your payroll and to reestablish your family. And I'm sure that there are a lot of questions. So I'm going to stop there and I'm going to go to the next slide. So there has been a request by a number of small businesses said, well, how long will it take to get the loans? How long will it be before it's dispersed and in my accounts? And what do I do in the interim? You can get an SBA Express bridge loans. We actually have worked out with the state of Rhode Island where they are providing some resources to some, particularly in the hospitality industry. And what happens is when your loan is paid out by either the Paycheck Protection Program or under the Economic Injury Disaster Loans, SBA will take out your bridge loan and so that you would only have one loan. Remember, the Paycheck Protection Program, at the end of the 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it is, you would come back to your lender and say, listen, I have done everything. I have spent 75% for my employees and payroll and bringing everybody back. I have spent 25%. And we encourage you to keep good records on that. And that then we're at the point of forgiving the loan and the loan becomes a grant. Very important. Keep good records. You are asserting upon application to your particular lender that everything that you're providing in the 941s, it depends on what you're doing, or QuickBooks, or whatever you're providing that lender, that is to be truthful and accurate in accordance with everything that you have provided to your employees. So, and the bridge loan is just something to help you get started before you get the loan. Next slide, please. This basically just talks about if you have an existing SBA loan under the CARES Act, we will be paying 6 months of principal and interest to your participating lender. Next line. Next slide, please. Now, counseling, we are triaging the best we can here, but we're also working with our friends at the Rhode Island Small Business Development Center, which is headquartered at the University of Rhode Island. We have a great partnership with Ed and Diane and all of their staff. So you can call them at 401-874-7232. And also, if you come through SBA, we will be referring people out as well. Next slide. SCORE, which is our mentors here in Rhode Island, are very active in counseling and mentoring people during these times. You can call them by 401-226-0077. Next slide, please. Or the Center for Women in Enterprise. Where you can also call them at 401-277-0800. And these are our partners in trying to help everybody get back on their feet. Next slide. And, of course, the Rhode Island District Office. You can call 401-528-4561. But I really would encourage you to, if you need assistance, you have questions, the Rhode Island underscore, that's Rhode Island underscore DO at SBA.gov. We are triaging and getting through just about every message during the day. If you have problems or concerns, please call the number below and we're more than happy to do what we can to make sure that you can get through during these difficult times. Mr. Secretary, I yield back to you.
Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it. Appreciate all of your hard work and your tireless efforts on behalf of small businesses. And small businesses, we very much appreciate what you're going through. And the challenges that you're facing and overcoming. And we want to make sure to take your questions. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go straight into them. We're going to take a handful of them now, Mark. What sure. I want to point out is one more time in terms of the method here. If you have any questions for Director Hayward, please either post them in the chat box. Just go ahead and post them or send them in a direct message to Rhode Island Commerce. So post them or send a direct message. I've already got a bunch of them. So, Mark, here we go.
Sure.
Our question is from Diane Jennings. Are workers' compensation premiums included in the PPP program?
No, workman's compensation is not part. I don't believe it's part of it. I can go back and to look again. because there's been some question as to workman's comp, Social Security, FICA, but I've asked Washington for clarification. And at one point in time, Mr. Secretary, it said that you would include them on the front end, but you would back them out when they came in for the assertion on what was spent. So at this point in time, I think it's probably easier to not include them. And then I don't think it's going to make a lot of difference in the amount of money that's going to go to the individuals.
Thank you, Mark. This is from Elaine White. What if our businesses are not allowed to open by the time we receive the loan? Do we have to start paying our employees by a certain date to be considered eligible for the forgiveness?
So the forgiveness will go over a 12-week period, but predominantly for a period of time. This is the point that I was trying to make earlier, where small businesses can't wrap their hands around this concept that I'm going to pay employees to stay home. The point of this is to keep your team intact, to bring these individuals back onto your payroll. We understand that there are orders, and now the governor has extended that through May the 8th. We're fully understanding of that. And this is the purpose. This is the purpose. This was the congressional intent of providing dollars. So that's why it's called Paycheck Protection Program. It's not something where you would get the money, sit on it, and bring them back, and this would pay for them when you restarted operations. No, it's to bring people back on now.
Thank you. Mark, sorry about this.
That's fine.
Masail Frias, what about an LLC with only 1099 workers? Do we qualify for the SBA programs?
Yes, it's very clear in the rules that 1099 workers are eligible on their own right. So if you have 1099 workers on your payroll right now, you would not include them on your calculations being sent to your lender. You 1090 individuals who are 1099s are eligible in their own right.
Thank you, Mark. From Cherie Smith, what about the majority of us who have payroll that's a tiny fraction of the 1.2 million?
Same thing applies. I gave the 1.2 million just because it was an easy calculation for me from a mathematical standpoint, and tried to get people to understand it could be a fraction of it. It still applies, and you can still apply your participating lender. It could be 10,000.
One more question here for this segment, Mark, from Shannon Condon. Does applying for the early disaster loan affect the amount we get from the PPP program?
No, actually, if you ended up getting the advance under the CARE Act, basically what would happen is, let's just say you got $10,000 under the CARE Act, under the advance, that would be included on the PPP side. So it would be forgiven anyway. So it'd be just an add-on to, so if you had the $250,000 in the interim final rule on page, I think it's actually on page, the top of page 10, it talks about add the EIDL loan of $10,000, which now equals to $260,000, and that would be the maximum loan for that business, and it would be forgiven at the end.
Thank you, Mark. Just a reminder, and then I'm going to turn it over to another colleague who's on the line with us. The reminder is that the information that Mark is providing, phone numbers for the SBA, contact information for SCORE and CWE, and certainly information about Rhode Island Commerce, that's all going to be on the Commerce RI website after we're done with this. That's commerceri.com. And you can always call Commerce at 521-HELP. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to turn the Facebook Live over for a couple of minutes to Melissa Travis. Melissa Travis is a great colleague of ours. She's the president of the Rhode Island Society of CPAs. She works with the accountants all over Rhode Island who are trying to help small businesses. And Melissa is a tireless advocate herself. Melissa, the floor is yours for a couple of minutes.
Good morning, everyone. I'm honored to join you this morning. I want to thank both of you for your leadership. Both Mark and you, Stefan, have been way out in front from the beginning, and I know you've worked tirelessly, so thank you. We heard a lot this week from our CPA members who appreciate the diligence, especially, I know Mark, we're driving him crazy trying to get this information and the guidance and reconcile this. So I want to just jump in. And Mark, one of the things that was released in the most recent guidance, our tax committee manager, Pete Gervais with DeSanto Priest, asked about the 500 employee limit. Originally, the guidance stated the PPP loan was for anyone below the 500, but it looks like in the new guidance, there are exceptions. Do you want to talk about that for a minute, please?
No. No. Actually, I sent that out again this morning to all of our participating lenders, to our individuals in our chambers of commerce and others. Just to there is an alternative that's been proposed in the additional frequently asked questions. It is question two. Our small business concerns, as defined in Section 3 of the Small Business Act, required to have 500 employees to be eligible for the PPP? And the answer is no. I mean, because when you look at the, it is basically, I would point to paragraph 3, which says SBA's ultimate size standard as of March 27, 2020, maximum tangible net worth. Not to exceed 15 million. I don't think that there are too many businesses in Rhode Island whose tangible net worth is over that. And the second part of that is the average net income after federal income tax, excluding carryover losses of the business for two full fiscal years before the date of application, is not more than 5 million. So I think that size standard really will include just about everybody who's out there.
Okay, and thank you. And I think that will clear up a lot. And again, we're going to have a lot more guidance and we'll issue updated information as it becomes available. We heard our government affairs chairman, Norm LeBlanc, and his team at Conn-Litwin. You spoke briefly about the federal withholding and the FICA. One of the things the CPAs are seeing is the guidance that's been issued by the American Institute of CPAs, the AICPA, are making one statement regarding loan forgiveness based on gross payroll. And then the SBA and Treasury have released a separate set of rules. And again, I know you said you're waiting for additional guidance, but just once and for all the CPAs who are struggling with this, what should they do?
You know, Melissa, I really would. So I had a number of lenders call me last night about this very issue. How do we calculate? You can do it two ways. You can include it and then exclude it at the back end so that you don't have issues when it comes to forgiveness. As of right now, my gut would be to include it on the front end on the calculation and on the back end on the 75-25. It probably is going to work out fine anyway when it is excluded. We're not talking about a large sum of money in the calculation side of it. So, you know, I had hoped that we would have additional information. I don't. So the best advice is included up front. If you're not comfortable with it, and I said this to two lenders last night, if you're not comfortable in including it up front, it's not going to make a huge difference in the amount, or you can include it and not disperse that portion. But it's totally up to them. But I don't have clear guidance right now.
Okay. And that, again, we really appreciate that as everyone's trying to get on the same page with understanding the guidance. Stefan, do you want me to continue or did you want to?
Why don't you do one more and then we're going to go back to the questions that are online.
Okay. So I would say, Mark, the other question we get, probably we got 50 alone just yesterday, was the time period used to determine the loan amount. We got that from Picciarelli, our incoming chair, Erica Guattari, and others that have asked about that timeline, because that the guidance also conflicts on that. If it's the calendar year, January to December 31, 2019, or 12 months ended March 31st, and are they both acceptable?
I think they're both acceptable, and it really depends, because you have particularly when you're dealing with seasonal businesses, you're not going to get a full year to begin with. So you're dealing with tranches as we look at, and sometimes it's quarters. And I think that the additional FAQ guidance that came out yesterday addresses particularly seasonal businesses. I would say that you could do either one. I mean, it doesn't mandate either.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And Stefan, I will turn it back over to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate your continuing hard work, Melissa, and your partnership. Mark, I'm going to take some more questions now. And
sure. Here they come.
From John Quoto, how do you know if you've been approved for the disaster loan? Will you receive an email or a letter?
For the economic injury disaster loan, you will receive an email or potentially a letter, depending upon if it's just idle or if it's idle advance. And my understanding is that central office will be doing notifications this week. I realize it's Wednesday, but every day is kind of falling together.
Including weekend days. I realize that, Mark.
Including weekend days. That's correct, Mr. Secretary.
Small business owners and workers feel the very same way. From Laura Bennett, who are the lenders that participate in PPP? So who are the lenders?
They're all SBA.
How do folks find that list, Mark?
There is a list. There's a link on the PPP page of all lenders in Rhode Island as it relates to who is doing PPP. If you mention the name, I'm sure they're all there. I had a question from a number of people who sent emails to me, Mr. Secretary, about my lender said that I couldn't get one, or I don't have a lender. I don't have an established relationship. Where do I go? And I had mentioned to you yesterday and earlier that I have been, when I'm talking to lenders, I'm asking them, are you taking on new customers? Some lenders are telling me that they are going to process their own customers first. And yes, they will take on additional customers. So the people that I've talked to include Webster Bank, who said that they will take on additional customers, Navigant Credit Union, Bank Newport, Bank Rhode Island, TD Bank. And I'm sure I've missed a couple here, Mr. Secretary, but the bottom line is there are a number of individuals who Harbor One has said that they will take on additional customers. Citizens Bank said that they will take on new customers as well for the PPP program. So there are a number of people who are out there right now that are willing to move forward.
Let me say this as well. I know Mark will take incoming calls and emails as best he can. Commerce RI at 521 help will also, if you're looking for a bank and you can't find one to process an application, just send us a message or call us. We'll get back to you and we'll ask, have you tried X, Y, or Z banks or credit unions? By the way, they're very much participating, as Mark has indicated.
Yep.
Okay.
You talk of credit unions, another one.
So thank you for that. We know that's been a challenge for some Rhode Island small businesses.
Greenwood Credit Union as well. And actually Greenwood put a number of loans into the system.
So the message is there are banks and credit unions that are taking applications from small businesses that are not currently clients of those banks and credit unions. So please reach out to the SBA, Mark's office, and ours if you're looking for that list. From Alan Bradbury, for a sole proprietorship on the EIDL form, what does costs of goods sold mean? And Alan says, my business is furniture repair and refinishing. And I know Alan's a good man and a terrific entrepreneur. And would you answer his question, please?
There is a you should be able to do a calculation on what your cost of goods sold over a period of time. So if you're having a problem putting that together, I would recommend that he reach out to us and we will put him in touch with the Small Business Development Center for him to be able to develop that. It really should. It's on your tax form. It depends on he's filing as what, sole proprietor?
Yes.
So, okay, we will have somebody assist him. So if you can have him refer to Rhode Island_DO@SBA.gov, we'll connect him with the SBDC.
Okay, Alan. And Alan, just go ahead and reach out with Rhode Island Commerce if you are just unable to navigate what Mark just said, unable to get in touch with the SBDC, but start with the SBA, as Mark has just suggested. From Raymond Ricard, is there a small business loan that can be applied just for business expenses that will occur when the business is closed? Not looking to include payroll in this loan.
I would probably say that that would be the idle advance loan. And I realize we're not talking to them, but the number of employees is going to be critical there. Idle is going to be your best avenue if that's where you want to go. So the economic injury disaster loan would be the best way to go. And that's online, SBA.gov. And when you look at COVID-19 coronavirus, and it will say idle and idle advance, EIDL, economic injury disaster loan, and just apply there.
From Pamela Bhatia, can you use the funds from any of the programs to hire new employees, for instance, to hire a marketing person to help?
So you're submitting your PPP loan and you are bringing employees back. And I had this question yesterday a couple of times. What happens if, you know, I had five employees and only four come back? Hire somebody else, hire a fifth. So if that's within what she wants to do, it's important to bring your family back onto the payroll, but we realize that not everybody is going to come back on the payroll. And if that's the case, then I would suggest that as long as you're spending the PPP money for the intent purpose that you have applied to for the bank and then will be forgiven in the end, it should not be an issue. We're not asking you for the names of the employees. We're just asking you for the financial data.
So that's a yes, Mark. If a business wants to hire someone for marketing, if they need a tech person to help them out as they are putting a new payment system on electronically or doing sales through the internet, these things can be done.
Absolutely.
They can add personnel. A question that's come through a whole bunch of people who are writing in, Mark.
Sure.
It comes down to this. I've applied for an idle. When can I expect to hear more information? When can I expect to know whether I've been approved or whether there's more that I've got to do?
I hope and I pray that it's this week. As you well know, the regional administrator is now in Washington as part of a three-person political team that's in headquarters assisting the administrator. So as the acting regional administrator, I'm on a call every night at 8 o'clock. This is an issue that was raised last night with some concern by all of the regional administrators across the nation, yours truly included. And we were told soon. I don't know what soon means, but I'm told that maybe that will be this week.
Okay. Mark, one more question, another question, not just
sure.
One. From Evan Pagano, as a sole proprietor, can you apply for unemployment insurance in addition to the small business loan?
I don't think that's what the purpose is. The purpose is if you're a sole prop or you're a 1099 and you're applying for the PPP, you're basically applying for the lost wages that you have now. I think that would be a concern.
If someone wants to decipher that a bit more, Mark, who do you recommend that they call around UI and IDLE or PPP?
I would call Scott Jensen over at DLT because the bottom line is, and I had a discussion with on one of these conference calls last night where an employer said, well, I'm going to offer, I said, I've already submitted my package. I know what I'm getting. I'm going to bring all of my people back on. And if they do not come back on, he says, and I pay decent wages. They have health care, they have insurance, life insurance, they have everything else. And if they don't come on, he says, I'm going to notify the Department of Labor that I have offered their job back and they have refused. Now, that puts individuals in a spot because that makes them ineligible for unemployment.
We're going till 9:30, so I want to ask folks to, if you have more comments, we've got plenty, but if you still have comments, remind you, place them in the chat box or send Rhode Island Commerce a direct message. Okay, here comes a question mark from John Matrullo. Actually, just asking that you repeat contact information for the SBA to call for help and presumably to write in for help in applying for these programs. Would you repeat that now?
Sure. It's RhodeIsland_DO@SBA.gov. That's the best way to get a hold of us. You can always call 401-528-4561. But I really recommend sending an email. We have people checking that email box constantly throughout the day and night.
And I want to remind everyone on this Facebook Live, you can check out the Commerce RI website, which is commerceri.com, or you can call 521-HELP, of course, 401-521-HELP, on any of your questions about being assisted as a small business. And in addition, you can always write info@commerceri.com if you're trying to send an email to the state commerce folks, to us here at Commerce, info@commerceri.com. Another question from Christopher Carlo. Is there help for self-employed people like himself who don't have employees but still have overhead like rent and utilities? He's saying he's forced to shut down and has no income to pay for ongoing expenses. Thank you, Chris, for that question. Mark?
So he's either a 1099 or a sole prop, I would assume. So let's do a scenario. So he receives throughout the course of the year $50,000. He would do the same calculation, even if it was from an owner's drawer, because that's where on page 10, it talks about forms of other compensation. It's extremely broad. So you would take the 50,000 divided by 12, multiply it by 2.5, and that would be applicable to that individual who's a sole prop or a 1099. So the eligibility is there. It's just if he needs assistance in moving through that process, he can email us and we'll certainly take care of that.
From Brian Fabiano, and this is a question we've seen a number of times today. Yeah. Please confirm the length of payroll forgiveness. You mentioned 12 weeks, but Brian is saying everything he's heard and read says 8 weeks. Thank you for the question.
So the payments are over 8 weeks. So what you're being provided is eight. For example, to go back to the first example, your payroll is $100,000 a month. You're eligible for $250,000 because it's the 2.5. So the payroll is over 8 weeks. That's the payroll. At some point beyond that 8 weeks, when you come back in for requesting forgiveness of the loan, and that's the payroll of 8 weeks and the 0.5, that's where we get the 75% must be spent on payroll and 25% must be spent on other issues dealing with the business. It will be post that. I don't believe the deferment goes out 6 months. So I don't believe that there's been a designation as to the exact time you come back in and say, okay, I want my loan forgiven. Keeping good records and doing what the program has requested will lead to forgiveness of the debt.
Thank you, Mark. From Maureen Pagliaro, seasonal business employee calculations are needed from February to June. Summer seasonal businesses don't fit in this parameter. How would you reply to that, Mark?
So yes, that's you would have to calculate February to June because that's the time period that's going to be covered. So we're assuming that during that period, this is a ramp up. Again, you know, we're talking about people who are ramping up, and I've had numerous discussions with individuals who have businesses on Block Island. Actually, that reminds me, I have two people I still have to call back from Block Island. But basically, we're talking about that ramp up period. So it should be parallel. And I think I'm concerned that people are thinking, well, I want to get payroll to go beyond that. That's not what the purpose of this program is. The purpose of the program is to get us to bring your employees on, to bring them up to speed, to and to pay them over the next 8 weeks.
From Melissa Flore, for multiple business owners, we are able to apply under each of the EIN numbers.
Yes.
Separate entities with different staff under each business, that's her question. Is
yes,
that,
does
that
absolutely. Yep. So that and I realize there are a number of holding companies that have multiple restaurants, or actually there are multiple restaurants, period. I talked to both Bob Bacon from Greg's, as well as Greg Cello from Cello's, and they have multiple restaurants, and they would apply for each.
That makes sense, Mark. From Ola, is it possible to make corrections on the PPP form after submission?
Yes.
Thank you.
Lenders,
go ahead, Mark.
So the lenders could actually go in and modify what they actually put in the system. I mean, you're not locked down. You know, I asked for $150,000. Well, I got to take $150,000.
Gotcha.
No, in fact, we've advised on disbursements as to they can disperse all or they can disperse in part. It really depends. So the short answer is yes.
Great. And obviously what you've just said is go through your lender to make those changes. The lender
absolutely
submission, the modifications are through the lender as well.
Yep.
From Marissa Julia, can you just reiterate what EIDL can cover? EIDL loan program cover?
So we're not talking about the EIDL advance here. We're talking about the regular EIDL. The regular EIDL is economic injury disaster as it looks forward over the next 8 to 12 months. So it's an entirely different program. It's calculated entirely differently. They ask for a lot more information, and they will ask for tax returns. They're going to ask for P&Ls, and they're also going to be calculating a lot differently. That requires any loan over $500,000 to pledge collateral. It can go up to 30 years, depending upon what the loan size is, but it's looking basically down the road. So PPP is looking at the short 8 to 12 weeks, and I say that because it depends upon disbursement. And by the way, no PPP loan can be dispersed or approved after June 30th. That's what the statute says. So, but EIDL is an entirely different program that looks forward. So people say, what should we do? Should we apply for both? It doesn't hurt you to apply for both. The only problem is you cannot receive PPP dollars and EIDL dollars for the same purpose. And remember, the PPP basically is for salaries and expenses over an 8 to 12 week period.
From Sue Machowski, Mark, and many others, actually, in order to qualify for the up to $10,000 EIDL grant, that's the advance, does a sole proprietor have to, does a sole proprietor have to have employees? And she indicates she did not count herself as an employee when she submitted.
Is she an employee? That's the question. So she should have included herself as an employee. I would probably say that she would, and you can't modify the applications on the advance when you submit them. She could go in and resubmit on the EIDL advance, but I'm not sure exactly. They may substitute one application for the other. That would be her best bet.
Got it. From Richard Osborne, can you apply for EIDL and PPP if you're still open for business but not sure for how long?
Yes. Yes, that's eligibility is on both.
And can I believe that the federal SBA, that the home office, Mark, has indicated that you can apply for only one cost center in each program. Am I accurate in that? Or can you say more about when you apply for both, how you need to go about that?
Yeah, you have to apply. If you can apply for the PPP, which is your immediate need to exactly. bring your employees back. The long-term one, again, is the EIDL. So what you're doing is you're applying. And EIDL, yes, there is that EIDL advance, which allows for forgiveness of that first $10,000 if it's under the advance. But under the regular EIDL, essentially, you're going to be looking at a loan for up to 30 years at 3.75%, paid over, with deferments over a year. But the EIDL application is a loan long term for getting the business back up and running.
Great.
It's working capital is what it is.
Yes, it is. From Eileen Brandau, I'm an S Corp and have no employees. Do I qualify for any of the loans and unemployment, she's asking?
So she's under that very last portion that I talked about on the interim final rule on page 10, where it says for any independent contractor, sole prop, it would be wage, commission, income, or net earnings from self-employment or similar compensation. So it goes back to that other individual who was just himself as a 1099, but in her case, she's an S Corp. So she would apply. So you would take that other or similar compensation in this case would be the owner's draw. You would do the calculation based upon 12 and 12 becomes times 2.5. And that's how she would come to the PPP.
I'm going to mention something that's going on simultaneously now. The Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce run by Lori White is hosting a webinar right now. That's actually going through each of the SBA application forms. The Greater Providence Chamber actually publicized this and wanted to offer that additional resource. And that's happening now. People are at different stages in their application processes, but I wanted to, in a rarity mark, I wanted to help people even drop us and go over there if they want. And we're going to stick with answering questions right here.
Sure.
You are in no way obligated to switch over, but we're going to go right to 9:30. But we're going to post a link to that webinar right now in the comments chat box. What they're going is going through each of the SBA application forms, and they're kind of walking you through how to apply through those forms. So if you feel like that kind of step-by-step would be helpful to you, the Greater Providence Chamber is doing that right now in this parallel webinar. And I'll mention that to you again as we close here. So, Mark, we've got another 7 minutes that we're going to continue answering questions.
Sure.
So Sandra Bazinet asks, I'm having trouble filling out the PPP loan amount template. Is there someone that can help her?
Yes. If she would send an email to RhodeIsland_DO@SBA.gov, we'll get somebody to help her. And by the way, it goes back to this is not difficult. Those who have 941 filings, they should be able to do it off the 941. I realize that after you file, and we're talking about wages, and you need to add back all of your medical insurance and retirement and state and local taxes in there. I understand that could be confusing a number of people, but once you come to the bottom line and you divide by 12 and you multiply by 2.5, it's really not difficult. I did not know that the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce was doing that, but I did. Say that I've looked through those forms and they're, trust me, particularly the PPP form, it's more self-assertion than anything else, Mr. Secretary. It's not difficult. It really and truly is not.
Got it. From Liz Hassinger, what's your advice on using a line of credit from her bank while waiting for PPP or EIDL to come through? Will I be able to use these loans to pay back the loan?
To pay back your existing line of credit?
Pay back the line of credit, yes.
But the most important thing is that whatever the line of credit is being used for has to mirror what the EIDL, what the PPP or EIDL loan is for. So you can't pay back that particular loan if you're not using it for the 75-25 split. Employees and then ongoing expenses for the corporation.
Thank you. From Susan Yina Ladiel, How long is it taking to approve these applications in Rhode Island, and will the money be all allocated by the time we get ours in?
I know it is not taking long. I will tell you that there are some lenders out there that are working around the clock to input. I can't give out numbers anymore, but I can tell you that there are multiple thousands of loans that have been submitted and approved in Rhode Island, and there are hundreds, plural, of millions of dollars that have been approved. As soon as they put it in and they hit send, they get a authorization and a loan number to which they will close the loan on the SBA authorization and note. And they will basically, what was the second part of that question, Mr. Secretary? People keep calling me, so I lose the screen here, but go ahead. The second part.
Well, it was basically whether the program will run out of money by the time they apply. And I know you don't have all the answers. You're here in Rhode Island with us.
The one thing is that the president did say yesterday that he had spoke to both Senator McConnell and Senator Schumer, and that on Thursday, tomorrow of this week, that the Senate is going to reload $250 million into the PPP program, and that the Congressman Cicilline said and Congressman Langevin said that they were going to, that there was going to be a voice vote in the House on Friday.
And I just want to note that Governor Raimondo has been working very closely with the Rhode Island congressional delegation, our senators and congressmen, and has been pressing this point, and they've been eagerly working on, and of course, as always, vigorously working on advocacy for more resources for PPP and other programs, our congressional delegation. So big thanks to them. I also want to note there've been a number of questions, Mark, before I get to yet another question that's coming in.
Sure.
It's about getting funding in time. And this is more of an answer to those points. If a business in Rhode Island, a small business, is applying for an EIDL loan, and you are seeking even faster access to capital, Commerce has set up a program. These are micro loans, very small loans for small businesses that are awaiting answers as to their EIDL loan from the federal SBA. The amount is up to $5,000. It's for the smallest of businesses, 1 to 10 employees, or any restaurant in Rhode Island. We're still taking applications for that program. So please write us at info@commerceri.com. Check out our website, commerceri.com. Or call 521-HELP if you're in those circumstances where you want a bridge loan of up to $5,000 against your EIDL loan if you meet that definition of among our smallest businesses or a restaurant owner. So I just want to put that out there. I'm going back to the questions, and we're going to push right up against 30 here. From Michelle McCary, what happens when a business has a weaker credit score and is applying for SBA relief? So what happens if your credit score doesn't meet the requirements?
So I do know that credit scoring has been the prior credit scores that were used for this kind of lending have been adjusted. I would need, Mr. Secretary, more specific to really be able to give an answer.
Fair. Okay, so please go ahead and Mark, would you shout out one more time how to reach your office?
So it's Rhode Island, all spelled out, _DO@SBA.gov.
Okay, last question before we give generic information to everyone out there one more time. From Penny Souza, can you use your 2018 income tax figures if you haven't filed yet for 2019?
The short answer to that is yes. And Penny, I saw your approval already.
All right, look at that. Look at direct information. Congratulations, Penny. And one more time, thank you to all the small business owners out there who are struggling and are just striving to stay afloat and to stay ahead of these very, very challenging issues We salute you, and we're here to support you. Mark Hayward is a really terrific partner here on the ground with us, advocating, I can tell you, I see it firsthand, advocating for individual businesses, advocating for more resources, staying in close touch with the DC-based federal offices of the SBA. So thank you, Mark, so much for answering these questions. We know there are more out there. There are more questions that we weren't able to answer because of time. Please do reach out to us. Mark, one last time, how do they reach you? And then I'll do the same.
First of all, Mr. Secretary, thank you for putting this together. Please express my appreciation to the governor as well.
Will do.
We've worked very closely in partnering on this since she requested the economic injury disaster loan. They can reach me at Rhode Island_DO@SBA.gov or 401-528-4561.
And one more time, as to commerce, if you have questions about any of the information you've heard, you want just contact information for the SBA, contact information for the SBDC, contact information for the various partners of the SBA on the ground here in Rhode Island, or you just want some additional help from commerce, call 521-HELP or check out commerceri.com or email info@commerceri.com. Among the things you can ask us about is the aforementioned set of information about our federal partners, other partners on the ground. Also, if you need technology support, tech support in the way of you're trying to improve your web presence as a small business, you're trying to establish payments online for the first time, you're trying to make things work technologically and you need some support, we have 45-minute sessions that are free from an array of Rhode Island-based companies that are tech-savvy and that can help you become tech-enabled. So check out our website, punch us in a question, or directly call us at 521-HELP for that as well. If you want information on the Bridge Loan Program I mentioned just a few moments ago, ask us as well. I want to thank everyone involved with making this production happen today, including Matt Schief, our head of communications, our chief of staff, Hannah Moore, John Snyder, Silvana Mercado, and so many others who are making it happen here in Rhode Island for us. So thank you so much. And Mark, one more time, my appreciation.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. It's a pleasure.